taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were every day American.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. We actually do something strange. We go back to the original data and we find out what is going on. And I got a lot to cover today, and it actually started with an interesting encounter I had the other day with a physician's assistant. Now, very nice person. I'm not going to name them. I'm not calling them out, but it revealed to me something that is going on in this country that I've talked about before, but it just kind of, it was right there. See, my wife and I, we were at a doctor's appointment, and the question was asked, did we get the COVID vaccine? And when I said no, because I have a 99% survival rate. Now, this PA said, 99%? I said, yeah. She goes, I don't think so. I said, look at the COVID. Look at the CDC data from COVID. I said, everybody has on general a 98% chance, plus percent chance of survival. And based on my age and my health, I'm more than 99%. And she looked at me skeptically. I said, look at the CDC numbers. Don't listen to what the politician's saying. Look at the numbers. Now, why is that important? Because it ties to me another news article I heard about the other day, where now the CDC is saying, oh, you can give this vaccine to children as young as 12. And I'm going, are we really that stupid? The CDC's own data shows that under the age of 16 or 18, COVID is not caught, neither is there any evidence it is transmitted by young children, but we're pushing an experimental drug harder and harder and harder on younger and younger people, and we have no long-term evidence of what the outcome is going to be. And this PA was like, well, you know, it's been fully tested. I says, no, it isn't. It's been released under an emergency use authorization. It has not gone through all the FDA testing. Not that I trust the FDA as far as I can throw them. But all of a sudden, oh, no, it's been fully tested. No, it is not. Does that mean we shouldn't get the vaccine? No, that means we should be intelligent people and make a decision based on our situation, our medical history, and our risk and our willingness to balance the risk of getting COVID-19 with the risk of possible complications from the vaccine. Now, why did this pop up? Well, guess what? There's more evidence that Fauci and the leaders of the CDC either are ignorant or outright liars. I saw this article in the Federalist talking about Fauci and the media and the heads of the CDC all pushing this. We got to lock down. We got to lock down for more than a year. You got to lock down. If you don't lock down, you hate grandma you're going to get someone killed. And oh my God, we've got Karens out there. But guess what? We look at the data. See, rather than listening to what these idiots are saying, we actually looked at the data. And guess what we found? We found that these people were wrong. See, a study came out of the University of Chicago by a gentleman named Casey Mulligan. And he points out that lockdowns are a bad idea. And in fact, after workplaces implemented some mitigation measures, it was actually safer to go to work than it was to stay at home. Quoting from the article, available data from schools, hospitals, nursing homes, food processing plants, hairstylists, and airlines show employers adopting mitigation protocols in the spring of 2020. He then goes on to say, coincident with the adoption, infection rates in workplaces typically dropped from well above household rates to well below. data. Yet now I have medical professionals telling me that I should take an experimental vaccine, not because the CDC data says so, but because the CDC politicians say so. The CDC is a political organization. I know it's supposed to be about doctors and disease. It is not. Now, there are a lot of doctors that work for the CDC. There are a lot of health professionals. But when you talk about the leadership and the message coming out of the CDC and fake Fauci's face, these are not medical personnel. These are politicians. Fauci's been a bureaucrat, I think, longer than he ever was a doctor, a practicing doctor. And this bad information, this willingness to listen to scientists rather than the science, the willingness to listen to experts rather than checking to see if these experts have a clue what they're talking about, has led to some really bad outcomes over the last year. Remember when the CDC said, oh, we're going to ban evictions? Well, guess what? A court said, excuse me, you don't have the authority to ban evictions. How many months, how many landlords have gone bankrupt because their tenants were allowed to not pay rent and not pay a consequence for it? And how many of you have gone down the road and seen people alone in cars wearing masks? Why? Because we've been listening to this lie. We had Fauci first saying masks were not a good idea. Then they were a good idea. Then you should wear two masks. You know what we never did? Very few Americans actually went back to say, what are you basing that on? You see, I don't trust what you say, Mr. Fauci, because you've lied, or at least you've misrepresented to the American people way too many times. But because he's an expert and, oh, he works for the government, he knows what's important. He knows that children as young as 2 should be wearing masks, again, when there is zero evidence that children suffer from COVID-19, that they catch COVID-19, or that they transmit in any significant number. So we're going to take 2-year-olds, wrap their heads in diapers, because some idiot in direct contradiction to the evidence says children should be wearing masks. What has happened to America over the last year, year and a half, has nothing to do with COVID-19. It has to do with tyrants in political office and sheep in the population. This willingness to simply listen to experts that have been proven wrong over and over and over again. Now, what does fake Fauci say? I'm sorry, how does anybody trust a word out of this man's mouth at this point? Now experts are saying, oh, guess what? We're never going to reach herd immunity. Oh, really? Who are these public health experts? How many of them are actually virologists? How many are actually been practicing medicine for the last 20 years? I don't know who, so I can't trust them. Anonymous public health experts tells me nothing, except they're probably lying to me. If they're government employees, they're probably lying to me. Groupthink. Why give up control of the American people if we can keep them, because our experts say you have to still wear masks and you have to do this? Why? Why? Why, when we're seeing infection rates at the lowest level in a year? Why, when we're seeing death rates so low, are we listening to these people who've been telling us, oh, you need to stay indoors, and we find out, oh no, actually being outdoors, vitamin D3 and being out in sunshine is actually a good thing? Why do we listen to them when we get reports about the CDC dramatically overstating, they are lying about the rate of outdoor transmission of COVID? Oh, you can't have outdoor dining. That's a super spreader event. But the CDC announced back in April that less than 10% transmission appears to be documented transmission occurs outdoors. But it's worse than that. You see, if you look at the actual reports, it appears that the rate of transmission outdoors can be as little as 0.1%. Now, the CDC numbers may not actually be fabricated, but they do seem to be misleading. And these are the people we're listening to decide how to deal with this. People who've already admitted that 94% of their death numbers were people who died with COVID, not necessarily of COVID, where on average of those 94% that were with COVID, they had 2.6, not other diseases, other causes of death. COVID was a contributing factor, or possibly, I've heard reports of, you know, people getting into a motorcycle accident with COVID and being listed as a COVID death. That's fraud. But to focus on the death number as if all these people are dying of COVID, where COVID was merely may have been a contributing factor. See, this is not a free people. This is a group of people who are servants. They are subjects of government. So what else do we find? Then the CDC comes out and says, oh, remember those kids which really don't tend to contract COVID? If they do, their bodies fight it off. And they don't tend to transmit it. And there was reports that they don't even transmit it to adults. And what does the CDC say? Kids should wear masks and stay 3 feet apart. These same lying political buffoons that have gotten masks wrong, that have gotten lockdowns wrong, that have gotten stay indoors wrong, are now telling us we should listen to them about our kids, in contradiction to the actual evidence. The CDC, again, is part of the government. Why do we trust government officials who've been lying to us for decades? Why do we listen to them? They've proven themselves wrong over and over and over again. And then what do we find out? We find out that the CDC's plans for reopening schools, government-run schools, the government has shut them down. Oh, now we have some plans on how we can do this. And who did they spend a lot of time working with to decide when to open schools? Was it school administrators? No. Was it teachers? Yeah, we talked to teachers. No. They got a lot of their information from teachers' unions. People whose sole job is to protect the jobs of their members. Not to educate children, not to concern about children's health care. No. Teachers' unions are about getting dues from teachers. And then we find out that the unions, let's say that they've been very pushy about getting the CDC to keep schools closed. I mean, let's face it. What better way for teachers' unions to keep teachers happy than to get them to be paid to work from home? You know, many, many years ago, when I was much earlier in my IT career, I was offered a job, and one of the selling points was, hey, I got to work from home. So now we have medical decisions being made by government bureaucrats and union leaders, and you're trusting these people. By the way, these same union leaders whose unions, according to reports, have donated $20 million. $20 million before trying to influence, before they started influencing the reopening guidelines. And take a wild guess where most of that money, where all that $20 million went. Yeah, it went to Democrats. And again, they, you know, here's $20 million. Oh, now we want to influence the CDC, the government agency that is working on these guidelines. Why do we trust these people? Personally, I don't. Like I said, I don't trust the CDC as far as I can throw them. They have proven themselves to be untrustworthy. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that the majority of the people at the CDC are corrupt. I'm sure the vast majority are honest, hardworking people. Their leadership are politicians. They are more interested in the politics of the situation than they are in the science of the situation. Then I found this other neat little tidbit. See, scientists, actual scientists, people who look at data, who test their hypotheses and then modify their hypothesis based on the data, they issued an open letter. And what were they claiming? That they were getting incorrect and contrary details from the World Health Organization, another political arm. It's an international political, it's an arm of the UN. So a group of these scientists sent a letter highlighting incorrect, disputed, contradictory, and imprecise statements from the W Health Organization regarding the origins of the novel coronavirus. And this misleading information was used to downplay the lab leak theory, the theory that this came from the lab in Wuhan. Now again, if there's data that it came from Wuhan, if there's data that it didn't come from Wuhan, let's look at the data. But when you have a political organization, the WHO is not a health organization, even though it's in its name. It is a political, it is a policy organization. It is an arm of the UN. And we find out that their information was incorrect, contradictory, and imprecise, sometimes disputed. Yet that is what many in the American government use to establish policy. See, they want these scientists, these actual scientists, they want the data analyzed. They want to do actual science. They want to examine what actually happened. Why? Because if we don't know what happened, how do we prevent it from happening in the future? According to these scientists, the WHO's report failed to reach some of the most basic standards of credible analysis and assessment. Yet this is what not the many in the American government used to set policy. Again, why do we trust politicians to know what the heck they're doing when it comes to science? Why do we trust politicians at all? You know, I find it amazing that on average, Congress has somewhere between a 50 and 30% approval rating, but we still listen to these idiots. And no, I don't really like calling people names, but how else can you talk about people who misinform the American people so badly and so often, yet people still listen to them? I think part of the reason is most Americans live in a bubble. They live in a propaganda bubble created by political actors and the media. I didn't say government. I said political actors. Now, I think political actors on both sides like to use the media, but there is more than ample evidence that what most people call the news media are somewhere between Democratic sympathizers, members, if not, and contributors to the Democratic Party, and hardcore socialists, Marxists, that want the government to control absolutely everything because they get to influence the government. If I've got government actors that are more worried about their image, the optics, than the truth, the media has a lot of control, don't they? But they have that control because the American people let them. There's an old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I say if you fool me 10,000 times, I'm probably an American voter. We have sat there and passively consumed information from that other people want us to have. Most of us don't verify it. Most of us don't validate it. How many times have I come to you and said, the headline says this, but the article says something different? That's propaganda. How many times have I pointed out when the news media says one thing, when the Constitution says something else? That's propaganda. When I was young, there was a newspaper in the Soviet Union called Pravda. And it was a joke. Pravda means truth. But pretty much nothing in there was true. Of course, unless it benefited the Soviet Party. Well, that's just as true today as it was back in the 70s and 80s. And sadly, this is nothing new. Thomas Jefferson said, "It is a melancholy truth that a suppression of the press could no more completely deprive the nation of its benefits than is done by its abandoned prostitution to falsehood." Yet the American people lap up the dregs from these news media outlets without care, concern. If you read it in the paper, it happened. If you saw it on the news, on the TV, it happened. Never even remembering the number of times we have found that false information was promoted by these news media outlets. But they still have power. They still have influence because the American people allow it. Because the American people still pay to be lied to. They pay newspapers to be lied to. They buy cable subscriptions to be lied to. They pay subscription fees to be lied to. And then we're shocked. Shocked, I say, when it turns out that maybe we were being lied to. Now, my job requires me to ingest news from many, many sources. But I do so with a filter. I do so knowing that I may be being lied to, that I must verify. There are very few news sources that I truly trust. There are quite a few that I will read, but very few that I truly trust. And even those, I verify. They tell me the sky is blue. I'm still going to go out and check. The American people are living in a propaganda bubble. I analogize it to the emperor who had no clothes. See, everybody could see that he had no clothes, but nobody was willing to say anything. Everybody could see that he was walking around naked, but everyone was afraid to say anything. Until it was just assumed. It was, you know, a lie repeated often enough becomes the truth. And too often we believe these truths in direct contradiction to evidence. It's not simply the media's prostitution to falsehood. It is our governments, our political leaders, our thought leaders who have prostituted themselves to falsehood for their own gain that has left us bereft of the information we need, unable and unwilling to trust those we need to, and stuck as subjects, serfs, servants of others. Not a free people. Not the land of the free, but the land of the subject. And we'll talk a little bit about the consequences of that when we come back after the break. But before we go, please head over to AmericaOutloud.com. Make it your daily stop for all the news and happenings you need. We need to take this information. We need to share. When we find a truth, take whatever you take, whatever articles you read, whatever videos you watch, vet them, and then share them. Become part of the solution, not simply part of the problem. Share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos. Help us secure not just America's future, but a free future. Because if we the people won't do it, it is blatantly obvious that those in positions of power will not do it for us.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. Thank you for joining the Constitution Study. We read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. You know, I want to make a point before we go on, and that is, you know, we're not all experts in everything. None of us can be experts in everything. But it really is a sad state of affairs when the people who are supposed to be experts have shown themselves to be politicians before they're experts. We act as if experts are infallible, and they're not. But what happens when the experts are, again, politicians? I don't mean they're running for elected office. I mean they work in a political position. Dr. Fauci is a bureaucrat. The head of the CDC is a bureaucrat. And when we put policy and agenda above the truth, where do we go to get trusted information? For example, now the purpose of a vaccine, for those of you who don't know, the purpose of a vaccine is to protect you from catching or overly reacting to some disease. Now, you take the COVID-19 vaccine because you don't want to catch COVID-19, or if you do catch it, you want your symptoms to be lessened. So why Are we listening to Biden when he says it is a patriotic responsibility for two vaccinated people to wear masks while talking indoors? There's ample evidence that masks do nothing, little, I should say, little, if anything, to control the transmission of a virus. The virus passes right through the mask, unless you've got a small enough pore in the mask. Most masks, vaccine passes right through. So really about the only thing it does is when you sneeze or you cough, it helps keep the droplets from spreading. So apparently because people, or at least the politicians think, or Mr. Biden thinks people are too stupid to cover their mouth when they cough or sneeze, he says you should wear a mask. But if you're vaccinated against the disease, what are you worried about? So, Mr. Biden, is it the vaccine does not work and you've been lying to the American people about its effectiveness? Or does it work and you simply don't want people to go around without a mask? There's nothing patriotic about wearing a mask. It is subservient. It is a proof of your serfdom. I understand there are people for whom wearing a mask is a recommended something you should do. If you are in a high risk level, if you are older, if you are, you have a medical condition, if you are at greater risk for any disease, if a mask would help, by all means, wear a mask. But this public devotion to everyone wearing a mask, the mask might as well be a Star of David on your shirt. It is evidence that you are less than everyone else. It is evidence that you are a subject and a servant to politicians. Why else, when states that are releasing mask mandates and have lower infection rates than those that are maintaining mask mandates, why are we still pushing these masks? We're pushing masks because they are a symbol of servitude. They are a symbol of a subject of tyranny. That's why we keep wearing masks. It's also, I believe, why Biden is pushing. He says he won't rule out requiring the military to get a vaccine. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I listened to a lawyer and a former member of the military. The military cannot be forced to take the COVID vaccine because it's still under an emergency use authorization. Now understand, when you join the military, you voluntarily give up some of your rights. And that includes some of your medical decisions. But even the military, even the Congress, in the rules they establish for the military, which is their power under Article 1, Section 8, says you cannot force a member of the military to take a medication that is released under an emergency use authorization. It is experimental. You cannot force them. Does President Biden care? I've seen no evidence that he cares. We are, again, misinformation. Oh, well, we'll get the military to take it because, again, mostly young, healthy men and women, extremely low death rate. Let's force them to take an experimental vaccine because we are pushing and pushing and pushing vaccines. This one disgusts West Virginia. This one disgusts me. Apparently, from what I've read, that West Virginia Governor Justice announced that he's going to give residents ages 16 to 35 a savings bond for getting the vaccine. That's right. West Virginia governor wants to bribe the young people of West Virginia, those some of the lowest risk for COVID, lowest risk of death. He wants to bribe them. Cash, well, not cash money, a savings bond, which eventually be worth cash money. Excuse me, Mr. Justice, that is a bribe. Merriam-Webster defines a bribe as money or favor given or promised in order to influence the judgment or conduct of a person in a position of trust, or something that serves to induce or influence. So, Mr. Justice, a rather ironic name, has announced that he's going to bribe those 16 to 35 in his state to get an experimental vaccine. And the American people are paying for it. Oh, yeah. Mr. Justice isn't simply using state funds. This is money that came from the feds under the CARES Act. So the money that was forcibly taken from you and illegally spent under the CARES Act is going to be used by a West Virginia governor to bribe his citizens to take an experimental vaccine. Those who are at some of the lowest risk of contracting or dying from COVID, we're going to bribe them to take this. This is insane, people. This is insane. But this is America in 2021. Rationality and thought have left the building. If it's COVID, we've got to do anything we can. We can't let one person die from COVID. We can let thousands die from heart attacks or the flu, but nope, you can't let one person die from COVID. Baloney. It's about control. It's about getting people to do what you want by hook or by crook. Citizens of West Virginia, this is your governor? I don't know the West Virginia Constitution by heart. I wonder, what are the criteria for impeachment? See, the president can be impeached for bribery. Sadly, he's not. Pretty much every president I've known has used bribery. But can West Virginia's remove their governor for offering bribes? Because that's what he's doing. And if you're one of the people that took the savings bond, you accepted a bribe. And if you only got the vaccine because of the savings bond, you not only took the bribe, you modified your decision. You couldn't even say, well, he was going to give it to me anyway. No, if you changed your mind, you took a bribe. You are just as guilty of bribery as Governor Justice. You want to know why this country, why our governments are such a mess? Because the American people keep accepting bribes. I'm curious. I don't know when Governor Justice is up for election again. I'm curious if he wins, because that will tell me something very important about the West Virginia people. They're more than happy to be bribed into compliance. I've just given you the evidence. Find the story and share it. Why are the American people accepting bribes? Because they're more than happy to. They're more than happy to line their pockets with other people's money to influence their judgment and put government at all levels in control. Now, there are serious, very serious consequences to what we've allowed to happen. This is not, as much as I blame those in government and those in with influence, we the people let it happen. Stop pointing the fingers at them and realize that you let it happen. When a government official said, you have to wear a mask, and you complied, you let it happen. when you walked into a business and they said, the government tells us we have to make you wear a mask, and you complied, you let it happen. What happens then? Well, I found something very interesting. I found an article, it was in the Tennessee Star. And the thing we don't realize is there are a lot, there's a lot more coming from COVID. No, I don't mean that the death rates are going to go up and no. How many medical conditions were left undiagnosed because people were afraid or they were locked down? The American Society of Clinical Oncology, I guess their chief medical officer, Dr. Julie Grelo, says we've not seen the real impact of COVID-19 on cancer diagnosis and deaths. Screening for cancer, mainly breast, cervical, and colon, clearly dropped dramatically early in the pandemic, which will likely contribute to a later stage at diagnosis due to delay or omission of screening that will be seen in the future. How many people will die of breast, cervical, colon, or other cancers because they weren't diagnosed early enough? I've had a mother and a stepmother die of breast cancer. Now, my mother lived for many years after her first diagnosis of breast cancer because they caught it early. My stepmother, on the other hand, she didn't survive as long. They didn't catch it as early. I'm sure there's not a family in this country that hasn't dealt with a serious cancer diagnosis, and many of them have ended in death. What would be the impact on those families when mom or dad or grandma or grandpa get a diagnosis and they realize, you know, if you'd been here 6 months before, 3 months before, a year before, maybe we could have done more. But will those deaths be counted in the ledger? Will the CDC post numbers of deaths that were exacerbated by late diagnosis? I doubt it, because that would impact negatively the image of the government. See, we forget that there is a risk both to action and inaction. And that risk is individual. So if you look at someone that was afraid because of all the reports that stayed home, they knew something wasn't quite right, but they were afraid to go to the doctor, or they'd been told it was a bad idea, only to find out later that they missed their chance at treatment. How many people will die from that? See, everyone focused on the possible low-risk consequences for the vast majority of people and paid no attention to the real dangers of the lockdowns. The destruction of rights, the destruction of liberty, the theft of property, and according to these experts, these doctors, an increase in cancer deaths because we listened to politicians rather than the science and rather than examining our own risks and making logical and rational decisions for ourselves. Now, I've been talking a lot about COVID because COVID's ruling our lives. It's running our lives right now. The government is using COVID as an excuse to run our lives. And even as states are starting to open up, we still see this happening. You know, it's interesting that the CDC, the eviction moratorium that the courts have found to be unconstitutional, they left in place in California, where they've already been sued for restricting access to churches, for preventing churches from meeting, for preventing singing and chanting in services, but that was left by the courts. The court said you can infringe on singing and all that. You can't prevent in-person worship, but you can limit it like anything else. And then we look north of the border. There has been a couple now viral videos of a pastor in Canada first demanding that law enforcement leave his church until they got a warrant, that they were coming to break up. He said they were Passover services. I don't know if they were actually celebrating the Passover. I know several Christian churches still actually celebrate the Passover as well as Resurrection Day. And he stood up. And for that, for saying, no, the church will meet, for taking a line from John and Peter saying, you tell us, should we listen to you or should we listen to God? He listened to God. And for that, the man has been arrested. For what? For holding illegal religious services. Now, granted, this is Canada. I don't know Canadian law. I don't know Canadian constitution. Here's what I know. You have a government that made it illegal to hold religious services. This man was stopped by quite a team. I mean, we're not talking about an officer pulling him over. Watch the video. There's at least half a dozen cars. There's a dozen or more police officers to arrest a pastor. Why so many? Because he was vocal. He stood up. He pointed out that this is Gestapo tactics, that this is tyranny, and it exists across the border. Is it really that far a leap to seeing pastors in California arrested for holding services contrary to a governor's edict? See, to me, that's not a huge leap. It is not a huge leap to see people arrested for obeying the supreme law of the land. That's Canada. How long before it comes here? Now, again, Canada does not have our Bill of Rights. I don't know how those rights of freedom of speech, assembly, and religion are protected in Canada. I don't know. What I do see, I see law enforcement willing to arrest a pastor for holding religious services because the state said no. Do you want to know why churches got all bent out of shape when states started saying no religious services? That's why. Because just as in every totalitarian country I can think of, every totalitarian regime I can think of, they would shut down what they didn't like and arrest those who disagreed. I pray for this pastor. See, this pastor was Polish. He knows what it's like to live under tyranny. He saw it. He recognized what he had lived under before coming to him in Canada. And he was willing to stand up I haven't seen any of the videos where his congregation stood up with him. He was isolated. They waited till he left his church. So maybe they did. Or maybe they were at least afraid that the congregation would do that. Or maybe they just didn't like the optics of arresting a pastor in his church. Who's standing with him? Benjamin Franklin said, "We must all hang together, or we will all assuredly hang separately." This man's hanging in the wind. Who's standing with him? What happens when American cities, American states, or quite possibly Washington, D.C., makes church services illegal? May it be COVID or some other reason. Oh, but the courts would never let that happen. We have a First Amendment. Oh, really? Do you remember the article, the episode I did on the church that sued Newsom? Was it South Bay Pentecostal, I believe? The court didn't say that the order was unconstitutional because the church has religious freedom. The court said, "We strike down that order because you're not treating the church just as badly as everybody else. You're treating them worse." Justice Bryant even said, paraphrasing, that if Hollywood, if a person could be a chorister in Hollywood but could not sing in the church, that's unconstitutional. But if they were restricted in both their job and their place of worship, well, that's fine. Do you really trust the court to save you? Because I don't. They've already said, as long as they treat religious people just as bad as everyone else, as long as they infringe on their rights just as much as everybody else, there is no religious freedom. But it's more than just COVID. Now, I live in Tennessee, and we're seeing the impacts of the ransomware attack on the pipeline. I was out yesterday, and guess what? Gas stations are out of gas. And then I read this little article. Senate Intelligence Chairman Mark Warner wants to create a real-time reaction team to combat ransomware attacks. And that's right. He wants the federal government to be able to take control of your network. Well, that's what a ransomware attack is, right? For those of you who don't know, a ransomware attack is when somebody or some entity basically disables or encrypts your data and will ransoms it back to you. It's a digital kidnapping. And now we want the government to be in charge. Not simply to prosecute the crime. No. That would be too simple, especially since most, you know, if this comes from overseas. No. We don't want that. They want the government to be able to intervene. Now, if the government's going to intervene, if you are a subject of a ransomware attack, how long before they intervene and say, you must do these things to protect yourself from a ransomware attack? Now, Amazon, Microsoft, some of the security firms, they say they need a team. They're more than happy to let government do their work for them. But why do we want to give government more power? There are tools to protect yourself from ransomware. There are relatively simple processes to protect yourself from ransomware. Why do we need the government to dictate them to us? There's only two answers. A, the American people are too stupid to do it for themselves, or they're too lazy. Who was it that said, never let a crisis go to waste? Well, here we go. Mark Warner, taking a crisis and using it to get the federal government in control of more. If they really wanted to deal with ransomware, the federal government would simply prosecute the crime. But this is not simply about ransomware. This is about government control. This is about government having its fingers in every pie it can get. And every time something bad happens, there are those in government says, we have to do something. Tell me, Mr. Warner, where in the Constitution is Congress given the authority to create a ransomware response force or a real-time reaction team? The answer is nowhere. The best they could do is say, well, we can protect for international. But the internet doesn't work that way. The internet doesn't have borders. So other than prosecuting those or attempting to prosecute those overseas, what's government? There's no role for the federal government. Other than prosecuting those who use interstate commerce to do, see it on interstate commerce, there's no role for the federal government. But you see, I doubt Mr. Warner really cares. What he sees is a chance to grandstand, a chance to puff out his chest and we'll do something, we'll fix it. And more often than not, it's government that's part of the problem. So please head over to constitutionstudy.com for more information. Head to America Out Loud and look under shows for the Constitution Study. Find this podcast when it's released and share it wherever you can. And join me next time right here on the Constitution Study.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends.